The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Rory O'Connor is with us this morning from the Irish Independent. Rory, good morning to you. How are you?
Hey, Jerry. How's it going?
You, like the rest of us, are trying to decide what's coming next at number 10, and that's your piece. The succession plan for number 10 must become top priority. A brilliant intro where you talk about how absolutely inexperienced Ian Madigan was when he was given the job of shepherding us through a World Cup quarter-final. Whatever that Oscar Wilde line is about to lose one child, it'd be unfortunate to lose two, begins to look like whatever it is. Like, if we repeat the mistakes of the past, we're going to end up getting knocked out in a quarter-final with an inexperienced out-half and wondering, that's funny, that happened to us before.
Yeah, I mean, Ian Madigan had started five times for Ireland before he started the World Cup quarter-final. And the only kind of serious opposition he'd faced from the start was Scotland in the Six Nations game. And Jack Carty had started once for Ireland when he played against Japan at the last World Cup. And both have basically had that experience and been thanked for their services and wished good luck, because they didn't really feature for Ireland much after that. I think Madigan won five caps afterwards, and Jack Carty played against Russia the following week and never played again. So it feels to me like we're sleepwalking into the same situation again. You know, I think I understand some of the reasons why Johnny Sexton was handed the captaincy, but I think even the fact, you know, we had a captain who was too old at the last World Cup, and that's another situation where we're kind of handcuffing ourselves to a player who'll be 38 in France in 2023. And much and all, as I admire Johnny Sexton, I think there's that clear evidence that he's on the wane already. So, and obviously his injury profile hasn't been great. So there are myriad reasons, I think, to pick a successor, or at least try a couple of successors across the next year or two, kind of figure out which one is the right one, or maybe two, because obviously one of them could get injured, and go for it. And I thought, like, Harry Byrne seems to be the one they talk about as the long-term guy that they rate. Joey Carberry's obviously, if he ever gets fit again, then that they're back on track, because I think Joey Carberry probably would be already in there. And there is the Paddy Jackson issue, where they have this guy that they groom for this position who is no longer available to them and will not be available. Like, it's been a bit of a growing clamour for him to come, not quite to come back. But
We should talk about this, Roy. There's no way that Paddy Jackson will play for Ireland again. And the IRFU made that decision. That was probably the right decision for Irish rugby. Like, they made that decision. He was not employed. It's not like they decided that, oh, we're going to let you go like any of those players who have been allowed to go in the past. They made a decision they did not want that associated with rugby on this island. And that's the decision made. So whatever Ugo Monye says on BT, or whatever questions Craig Doyle and Lawrence Lally are asking, I'm sorry, lads, but like, you can't not address the reasons why he's not playing here in Ireland. It's not because his contract was allowed to run out. It's because they didn't want him playing rugby in Ireland, and because the Irish rugby public did not want that in their team.
Completely agree. And you know, you can't, it's not a rugby issue. It's a much broader issue. And I don't think we probably have that time to go down everything that happened from 2016 to 2018 all over again. But I think it was pretty clear from the RFU at a corporate level that they felt that his, you know, for want of a better phrase, brand was very, very toxic to their brand. So they had to get rid of him. Now, David Nusafour did say later in 2018, in July, June or July of that year, he was in Australia, he did leave the door open for both Jackson and Olding to come back at some stage. But the Ulster CEO, who was appointed later that year to basically try and move their organisation on from the trauma of that whole episode, did firmly say that there was no chance that they'd bring them home. And I can't see any of the provinces wanting to take on that baggage. You know, London Irish did it. They took a bit of heat for a couple of weeks and seemed to have got over it. And you know, he is playing very, very well. But it's just not an option for Andy Farrell. And it shouldn't be an option either, because that chapter should be firmly closed in Irish rugby. So, like, he's 29, 28 or 29, I can't remember exactly. And he is the perfect age to be Ireland's out half. They did put the work into him. So from, like, the coaching point of view, It's unfortunate from their point of view that that player is not available to them. But we all understand the reasons why that player is not available to them. So he probably shouldn't be in the conversation at all. And there's been a creep in the last while of his name coming back into things. But maybe it just needs to be asked of Andy Farrell at some stage so that he can nip it in the bud. But he's off the radar. So really, you're looking at Carberry, who's out injured, you're looking at the two lads who are in there, Billy Burns and Ross Byrne. You know, I wouldn't sacrifice Billy Burns on Sunday's altar, but I think you can't really make a mistake of that magnitude again. There's definitely question marks about both of them as long-term out halves ever getting to the level that Sexton's at, but then maybe the next guy's not going to get to that level. Maybe the next guy's kind of a holder for a Harry Byrne or a Jack Crowley coming through. But those guys are 21. I really like Kieran Foley at Leinster. He's 23. Healy's done some good stuff for Munster this year, but I think needs a bit more before he starts getting picked for Ireland. But I think they at least should be in squads. You know, Harry Byrne was in before Christmas. And if you look at Garbisi at Italy, like Italy were terrible at the weekend in many ways, but he was quite good and he's 20. Jalabert's 22. He's starting for France this weekend. If he was fit, Entomac will be starting for France this weekend, and he's younger than Harry Byrne. We've always had a bit of a, I don't know whether it's an athletic development point or what it is. Maybe it's because we only have four teams and it's the bottleneck is real, you know, but we bring players through very, very slowly in this country. And while it's not the international coach's job to blood players, Andy Farrell's got to be looking at this one and saying, I need my 2023 out half in there now, because there's at most 30 games between now and the big kickoff in France, wherever that'll be, against whoever that'll be. It could be the Springboks. And we don't know who that person is. And I don't think Andy Farrell really knows who that person is. He's kind of, fingers crossed, it's Johnny Sexton, you know, who has managed to be as good as ever at 38. Or Joey Carberry, who has overcome all of his difficulties and gone on to put 2 years of really good work back to back. But both of those at the moment are hitting hope.
One of the elements in this as well, Rory, is how they actually fit into the Ireland team. And a 21-year-old is probably going to do a hell of a lot better playing with 14 first-choice players rather than being thrown in with the B team against Italy. I'm getting minutes beside Conor Murray, for example. If we assume that Murray has arrested his poor form from the last couple of years and is going to be the starting scrum half at the next World Cup, getting reps alongside Murray is probably an important step in that.
Yeah, in the pressure cooker, you know, I mean, Billy Burns was making his Six Nations debut last Sunday, so even if, like, he's 26, he's played in big games for Gloucester and Ulster. He's made a couple of international caps. He's only started once against Georgia and came off at halftime. That was the biggest kick of his life. And until, I think, I mean, like, none of us have ever been in that situation, but I think until you've been in that situation, you don't, when the, you know, it's on the BBC, it's on, you know, there's a million people watching in Ireland, you know, that's the pressure comes on and you got to live it until you know whether you're able to do it or not. And, you would hope that Billy Burns is all the better for having been handed that opportunity, and even though it went terribly, terribly wrong. But you're right. Like, Murray's place, I think, should be up for debate as well after Saturday or Sunday, because he made a number of mistakes. But yeah, he's 31. He's still likely to be very, very much in the mix. And yeah, those players need to play. Like, there's a summer tour. In theory, in a non-COVID world, there's a summer tour to the Pacific Islands this summer. I guess they're probably looking at blooding a player there or two players there, with the idea that some of their main guys will be on the lines. I don't think anyone will be on the lines on current form, but you don't bring Johnny Sexton on that tour per se. You bring a couple of the younger players and you develop them. But that's quite late in the development cycle for 2023. And I know people will say we need to focus on the Six Nations, but these World Cups keep coming around and we keep failing at them, and then we keep having inquests, and then we don't seem to listen to any of the things that we say in the inquest. So we move on and we have a decent Six Nations and kind of walk into the same situations again. So, I mean, this is partly winning Six Nations and partly putting the building blocks in place so that you're future-proofing the team for France. And I think there's a lot of that going on. And I think there was a lot, like, the way the team finished. And if you look at the 14 players who were on the pitch at the death, there was no one. I think CJ Stander was the older player. Maybe Dave Lecoyne was the oldest player, but there was no one vastly experienced. I don't think anyone had 50 caps. And yet they put together this All Blacks-like drive to go with 14 men to go from 122 to the 10-metre line, and then should have gone to the 5-metre line with a chance to win the game. And you look at that and you go, hang on a second, we don't necessarily need these multi-capped 30-something-year-olds to perform. There's good players there who, if they're trusted, can do it. And they're going to make mistakes along the way, but how are they going to learn if they're not given the opportunity?
Yeah, we had this conversation a little bit with Ronan Agar before the tournament started, and he was making the point that Sexton could actually elongate his career and Ireland could manage the end of Sexton's career by bringing him off the bench. So in those final 15 minutes when the game is in the melting pot, you have him coming on instead of going off. And like, yeah, there's probably going to be some periods where that first 40 minutes is a little bit car crashed, or there's a huge mistake made by the 10, whoever that is. But at least you have the possibility of rescuing that and bringing Sexton on. And look, assuming that he doesn't get a bang, he's going to be fit enough for those 20, 25 minutes that are left in matches. You could do the same with Conor Murray, and all of a sudden, you've revolutionised the proper game time experience. They're there for the pre-match, they're there for the anthems, and when the crowd is there, that massive roar that happens in those big games. But at least you have the safety net of the cavalry if you need it. It's a difficult conversation to have with somebody as competitive and important to Irish rugby as Sexton, but it might be the right thing to do for the World Cup.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily you're on the bench every week. I mean, look at Leinster, the way they manage those windows where they have a Heineken Cup final on a Saturday, they have a Pro 14 semi-final the following week, and they have a Pro 14 final the week after that. They put Sexton on the bench for the one in the middle. So say you've got Ireland-Wales in the first game and you have France the following week, you say to Johnny, look, you're going on the bench against Wales because we want you, and you're coming on for half an hour to win the game for us, because that's, like, we have this unbelievably powerful bench with Tadhg Furlong and Dave Kilcoyne and Ian Henderson, and they're going to come on, they're going to get you go forward ball, and we're going to, like, the lads will keep you in it for 60 minutes, then you're going to come on to win it. You said it to them, and you're going to captain the team against France a week later because we think you're the man to manage that first hour. And he's fresh then coming into the France match instead of banged up. Now, obviously, things can go wrong and you can get injured in 20 minutes as much as you can in 80, but that's taking a tournament view rather than a match view. And I think, like, you know, Ronan O'Gara is one of the most, you know, as well as being a legend and a really good pundit, you know, that we all know him as, like, I think outside of Ireland, he's being viewed as one of the most respected coaches in the world right now. He's, you know, flying high in the top 14. We should listen to people like that, you know. And as I said, I think Andy Farrell's doing a number of things right when it comes to succession. Maybe they don't know the identity of the one guy that they think is going to be there, and that's why they're kind of scrambling around in the dark a little bit. But until they try them on this, and there is an element of we have to be patient about it as well. Like, you know, if we call for change, then we can't hammer Billy Burns when he makes a mistake. Maybe that's Billy Burns, you know, chance and gone. I don't know. But, you know, there is an element of, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, look, except it wasn't just one mistake from Billy Burns. It was the wrong option, the bad pass, and then ultimately a kick that was in keeping with the stuff that we'd seen over the previous 10 minutes or so. So that's the concern. And look, I haven't seen enough of Ulster play. I don't know if he is international standard just yet. There was one other thing O'Gara said about how the first five caps, everything's a blur for you at number 10. So he's still in that blur. And sure, look, if they decide that they think he is the man and they back him, fair enough. But it might be nice to skip down to scroll on to the Harry Byrne. Harry Byrne, I thought Harry Byrne had been in squads. I thought he had been around. I thought that he was one of those players who would have been in the Carlton House bubble already. Or is he not at the moment? Do we actually know what the story is with that?
Well, there's always a chance that the pictures will come through on info today and we'll see Harry Byrne's face popping up. But in this window, he hasn't been in. Harry Byrne was in, I think, as a development player during last year's Six Nations. He was in as a development player again at the start of the last, the kind of restart window. And then he was a full member of the squad for the last week of the December, before that Scotland game. I think he may have been involved in one of the kind of match day preps, so he probably was a 24th, 25th man, you know, down there. So he has that little bit of experience. And then he got injured. I think if he'd started that game against Northampton and had gone well for him, he'd be in now and he'd be contending. I think he may have leapfrogged his brother at that stage. But unfortunately, he pulled the back muscle, I think it was, in the warm-up, missed that. And then we had this weird January where the games were all cancelled and he wasn't selected for the Munster game because they needed to get minutes into Johnny, I think. And yeah, they needed to get minutes into Johnny and Ross Byrne is obviously part of the equation as well. And that was their only game really of any consequence between the first week of January and the Six Nations. So there has been a bit of a difficulty for Andy Farrell there in that, like, he hasn't really been playing. And then he came back and played in that game against the Scarlets before the Six Nations, which was an outstanding performance from him and Kieran Frawley, who I really like as well. But, you know, there is a leap between Pro 14 rugby and Six Nations rugby, and, like, it's quite substantial. At the same time, there's, you know, sometimes you just got to, they've got to take that, you know, a bit of a leap of faith. You know, they've got to go, right, this is our fella. You don't want to damage him either. If he makes that mistake or if he makes those couple of mistakes, a la Harry Byrne, do we risk burning through these guys and then ending up coming back to Sexton because no one else has been able to do it? That, like, I'm sure in Farrell's mind, that's part of it. And also in Farrell's mind is the fact that once Ireland had a few wobblies in the autumn, he came under an awful lot of heat, particularly after that Georgia game, which is understandable. So he's balancing off an awful lot, but, you know, it's nothing compared to the fear that it's all going to happen again in France in 2023. That's got to be that has to be underpinning everything we do at the moment, in my opinion.
Well, I would agree with you. The one thing I think is that, and Brian O'Driscoll pointed this out pre-tournament, that this is the campaign where, after this campaign, it gets too late to sack your head coach. So make it through this point, and it's kind of a, you got to dance with the one who brung you. From the IRFU's perspective, that it'll be full bore, full commitment, that's it. And so these games actually take on more of a life of their own. Perform well in this tournament, and everybody goes, okay, you now have the freedom to experiment all you want. And at that point, you would expect next year, we're not seeing the scenario we're seeing at the moment. But just at the minute, the prize money from the IRFU's perspective and the job security from the head coach's perspective, you would suspect are driving Andy Farrell's thought processes.
Yeah, I can't see them getting rid of Andy Farrell, partly because of COVID and the financial situation, partly because unless David Nusafora suddenly feels accountable to someone, because at the moment he's not really accountable to anyone, and he makes his own decisions and Farrell is his man. And I just don't see it. Personally, I think that they've backed him and they'll probably see it through with him unless things go horrendously wrong. And I don't see, like, based on last Sunday, I don't see that. I thought there was a lot of progress in the performance. You know, they effectively won the game with 14 men. That, you know, they scored a point more than Wales over that period, which is shows that the players are playing for the coach. But no, Brian is right, and it's a valid point. And Andy Farrell maybe might feel that his job is secure, but maybe he feels differently. And, you know, obviously he's a perception thing to manage. But there's no fans in stadiums. The RFU are not reliant on gate income at the moment. There's no prospect of fans being in a stadium for the foreseeable future. I don't know if their income's going to take a hit as a result of the way the results are going, apart from prize money. Obviously there's a difference, I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, between finishing fifth and finishing second. But they do want to be competitive in this tournament, but they got to try. It's about finding a way to stay competitive while finding new blood. And it's a crude comparison with France, because France won two junior World Cups and have an incredible generation coming through. But France have managed to introduce new blood while remaining highly competitive and are now the favourites to win the whole thing. So there is a way. Our generation of players is good. I don't know if it's as good as the French one, and they're not getting a massive amount of senior rugby right now. But there is, I don't think this calls for widespread change. And like Andy Dunn has outlined, how if you switch to nine, if you switch your focus to nine, you put a bit more emphasis on Murray, it might not be as high pressure to put a 10 in there, that the 10 doesn't need to be the complete game runner in the way Johnny Sexton has been. So there are tricks that they can play to try and ease the burden on that 10, whoever it is. But if we take it as, it's not a given that Johnny's not going to play this weekend, but there's a good chance that the way he came off, that he might not be right for this weekend, I think it's fair to say. So there's a choice to be made this weekend, for sure. And if that player does well, you've got Italy next. So do you give Johnny an extended break, and do you use that to maybe start Ross Byrne and bring Harry off the bench, or Billy Burns and bring Harry off the bench, and you start bringing Jack Crowley into your camp, because he's the guy that, you know, if O'Gara thinks he's good enough to play for La Rochelle, then he's probably good enough to play for Ireland in the not too distant future. So like these are conversations that have to be had. But at the same time, you want to win this. You want to be competitive, so you want to beat France. And I can understand Andy Farrell's part, that part of that thinking.
£2 million difference between finishing second and fifth. £2 million sterling. So
that's four centre contracts for a year effectively. So I mean that's not to be sniffed at.
If we assume Sexton is out for this weekend, is it Ross Byrne that starts, and then who comes in for Peter O'Mahony as well?
I wouldn't take it as a given. Andy Farrell, I think, because he's a player's coach, and he spent his entire life in dressing rooms, having come through at 16 at Wigan. I wonder if Andy Farrell is the kind of coach that puts his arm around Billy Burns and says, "You screwed up, go and make up for it this weekend." Probably makes more sense from a strategic point of view to start with Ross and bring Billy on, because I think Ross is the kind of more controlling 10 who can do what Johnny Sexton does, and Billy Burns has the more kind of like, has that game changing. I mean, his cross kick went awry, but he is a very good cross kicker of the ball. I know Ross Byrne is as well, but I think him and Gibson Park coming on give you a change of pace. So I have a sneaking suspicion he might go with Billy Burns, just because it's not because he's second choice, and that's the obvious thing to do, is that you move him up one, but also because you back, I think Farrell's the kind of guy who backs his players, and even if you've screwed up, you get another chance. I'm not sure. I would pick Reece Ruddock. I think, you know, you've lost an experienced soldier, in O'Mahony. Ruddock has an awful lot of experience in leadership as well. He's in incredible form. Gavin Coombs has been brilliant for Munster, but he's only been in the camp a week. He wasn't called up to the initial squad. And I think Ruddock gives you a lot of what Coombs gives you, but he has that leadership and experience. And we don't know how long O'Mahony is going to be out for, but I think this is a real opportunity. Ruddock's never started a Six Nations game, to my knowledge, which is incredible given he's 30 or 31, and he's a really, really good player. This is a real chance for him to nail down a place.
Is there any talk of Ryan Baird getting in the squad, or is he injured at the moment, or what's the crack with him?
He's in there. He was brought in once Caelan Doris and Quinn Rue left the squad last week with their injuries. Ryan Baird and Gavin Coombs were brought in. But Baird did have a bit of a drop-off after that initial burst. I mean, he played up in Ulster for Leinster A two or three weeks ago. And again, it was at 3 o'clock on a Friday. There was a couple of diehards watching, and they weren't... He wasn't very... Like, he didn't stand out in that company.
Right.
I think he has had a bit of a drop-off in form. So, and I think the second row... Like, James Ryan might not play this weekend, so maybe there's a window for him to come in. But Ulton Deland's in very good form, and he's still a reasonably young man. So you could start with Tadhg Byrne and Henderson with Ulton Deland coming off the bench, or you could switch Byrne to six if James Ryan is fit, because Henderson played very well. So he has a couple of options. Baird is definitely international standard, but he's had a bit of a drop off. So I wonder if maybe just kind of coming through and playing those Saracens games and those big games first of all has just taken a little bit of a toll, so his form has dipped, and maybe he's not, you know, I'm not sure if putting him in right now is the right call given his form.
Okay. What do you expect in terms of a kick from Ireland this weekend? Because obviously it will be a back to the wall performance.
Like, a lot depends on the personnel. Like, it's so hard to judge what happened on Saturday, because like if they can keep 15 men on the pitch for a start, it'd be a good thing. So I think a lot of what they showed with 14 men was really encouraging. The way they kept the ball against Wales, the way they probed the line. I think with the 15, the full complement on the pitch, they would, you know, I think they would have won that game. So if they can keep a lot of that together, if they can bring that level of intensity, if they can, you know, bring that bench on, if they can keep the game tight and bring that bench on, it will live with like the bench in many ways lost the game for Ireland and Paris back in October. It just wasn't of the caliber that you need to beat a team like France. Whereas this now with even with the injuries, I think they've got a really strong bench. They just need to stop making mistakes. If they make the same level of mistakes, if the senior guys make the same level of mistakes this week, they'll probably lose, because France will punish them. France have that ability to turn a mistake into a try very, very easily. But they've a week to fix that. They've got their backs to the wall. I would expect a performance. And while France were incredible at the weekend, Italy were horrendous. I think Ireland will ask them much tougher questions, both in attack and defence. Will they win? I think it's 50-50. France are probably slight favourites at this stage, particularly when you've taken away the experience of Sexton if he's not there. And, yeah, you know, James Ryan was incredible for that 25 minutes that he was on. But I wouldn't rule an Irish win out, particularly given the stakes. And given, you know, France went to Murrayfield in around the same stage last year and were really, really poor. So they're not. It's not impossible that they could kind of float into Dublin on a high and not see it coming, you know. So, yeah. Ireland can win. Will they win? I wouldn't be so sure.
Rory, good stuff. Thanks a million.
Cheers. Have a good morning.
Rory O'Connor giving us some thoughts there from the Irish Independent. If you want to get in touch, 0879 180 180 is the number. Who would you pick at 10 for Ireland? We'd love to hear from you this morning.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.